Today we have our second installment in our preaching series on quiet, the spiritual practice of solitude. And last week I shared with you my experience of silence and solitude, and I encourage all of you to find 10 minutes a day to sit in the quiet, in the solitude. And I hope you gave it a try. Those of you who did, stick with it, persist. Those of you who didn't, well, you get another chance this week. And let me assure you, it will become one of God's greatest gifts to your life. But also let me warn you, painful and difficult things will surface. But don't be afraid. Jesus will show you how to deal with it. The fact is, that is the point of this whole sermon. But before we go there, let's go back to the big question. Why? Why? Why should we invest so much time and effort into this practice of solitude and quiet? Well, the bottom line is, if we want to be with Jesus and become like Jesus, then we need to do the things that Jesus did. And what we see all through the Gospels is Jesus slipping away from the crowds to enter into silence and solitude, to be with the Father. As early as the first chapter of Mark, we read very early in the morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and prayed. Over and over, we see this. Jesus making space and time in his overwhelming life. You think your life is overwhelming? He was making time and space in his life for the most important and intimate relationship of his life, that with God the Father. And that's how I think Jesus could say things like this in the Gospel of John: I and the Father are one. I only do what I see the Father doing. My second question as I reflected on this is, what happened? What was going on when Jesus retreated into those private and intimate places of solitude with God the Father? What was actually going on? And what I found in the Gospels is that we actually get three opportunities for a front row seat to see what happened when Jesus went off to pray. Three opportunities. The first is in the beginning of the Gospels, where Jesus is led to the desert, and it is there that he's tempted. Desert, the solitude. For those of you who have tried this exercise of quiet and solitude, you know that eventually crazy stuff starts surfacing in your mind, right? Wild and at times dark fantasies and delusions. And I could really crack that one open and spend the rest of this sermon preaching on that, an encounter with evil in the midst of our solitude and silence. And let me assure you, in no uncertain terms, you would be amazed and awestruck by my brilliant exegesis and insights. You would. But, alas, I am thwarted once again by Joseph. Joseph! Because you see, he's going to be preaching on that topic next week. And it would be rude and churlish of me to steal his thunder, although I find it very tempting. I do. Because evil's juicy, isn't it? So, example number one, temptation in the desert. What is the second time we get a backstage pass to see Jesus in the midst of solitude and quiet? Anybody. Anyway. No clergy. Nope. Nope. Anybody. You? You. No, the you behind you. No, the other you. The you with the shirt on. You. You, you. Say it a little louder. A little bit. That's right. The Mount of Transfiguration. Well done, you. Luke 9:28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, meaning what he taught before in this passage, he took Peter, James, and John with him, went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, The appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of a lightning. Now, y'all know the rest of the story, right? Elijah appears, Moses appears, they begin to discuss his departure, his death on the cross. But notice, it is there in the midst of solitude and quiet on the top of the mountain that a spectacular and mysterious encounter takes place, in which the full divinity, the absolute full divinity of Jesus, is revealed. And it's seen by the disciples, and we get to see it as well through the witness of the Gospels. Now, this one, I could really sink my teeth into. I mean, my fevered little brain is just popping right now. I know exactly what I preach about. But alas, I have to resist the challenge to dazzle you today about our encounter with God in solitude. Why? Because I'm preaching it on February 4th, right? So yes, this is a shameless plug. Okay, we'll see you on the 4th. Stay tuned. Finally, there is a third opportunity where we get full access to Jesus and his solitude and quiet. Anybody. Anybody. I'm going to give this one to Father Todd. Father Todd, all right? So what I need from everybody, because it's his first Sunday, drum roll, everybody, on the pew. Let's go. And survey says...
What is the Garden of Gethsemane?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes. Yes, we have a winner. Adam, tell him what he's won.
You have won a full-time job as the Associate for Whole Life Discipleship at Christ Church in Denver, Colorado. Congratulations, Father Todd!
Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And I've actually been there. We do Holy Land trips, not right now. It's a little bit sticky. But we do them, and it is beautiful there. It sort of reminds me of Chalk Lake Campground in Buena Vista, site number 13. Now, if you didn't get that joke, you got to go back and listen to last week's sermon. So it says, and Jesus said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not as I will, but as you will. Astounding, isn't it? Astounding. We're invited through the scriptures into this most intimate and powerful experience of our Lord. I mean, the vulnerability, the humanness, the struggle is profound. What is Jesus showing us as he enters into the quiet and solitude in the face of the greatest trial? The cross. What do we see there? What we see is Jesus' deepest anguish on full display for God. It's not like those pictures you see in art, you know, where he's all pious and manicured. No, this is real human pain and agony, unfiltered. Listen, we're all dealing with emotional pain on some level, sometimes more acute than other times. And our modern life tells us, don't go there, don't feel it, don't say it, don't let anybody see it. So we distract ourselves from the pain. We cover it up, we bury it, we numb it, we deny it, we short-circuit it. But Jesus is actually showing us the complete opposite. He's pouring it out. He's giving it full expression, feeling the depths of it, acknowledging it, owning it. It's stunning to see the raw humanity of Jesus in this moment. And then he expresses his desire. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Listen, I don't want to die like this. Please let me live. There must be another way. Jesus unabashedly and without shame or embarrassment shares his deepest desire with God, which he knows is contrary. But he does it anyway. Father, take this cup from me. Don't make me do this. And finally, we see Jesus surrender to the will of the Father. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus accepts reality on God's terms. He must go to the cross, for it is the Father's will. And Jesus' single desire is to obey the Father, to glorify the Father, to please Him. What we see here, as clear as day, is the process of prayer in and through which we deal with the deep emotional pain of life that we're all subjected to. First, by expressing our deepest pain, whether it be from disappointment or fear or sadness, injustice, anger, shame, we express it fully, completely, unfiltered, raw, real, in the presence of God. Then we speak out of our deepest desire regarding our pain. Jesus, heal me. Heal them. Fix this. Bring them back. Make it right. Take revenge. And finally, we surrender to the will of God, trusting Him in all things and for all things and above all things, knowing He loves us and knowing He will work out His will in and through our surrendered lives. I remember 34 years ago, I was in seminary. And I'd finished my first year, and I spent the summer as a chaplain at a hospital, pastoral clinical education. And they're trying to teach me how to be a priest. Now, I had quit drinking 20 months before. I was not in recovery. I was just what they call a dry drunk. Now, prior to going to seminary, I tried AA. I went to a meeting. And I thought to myself, you know what, Terry? You may very well be an alcoholic, but you are not one of those losers. And there I was, at the ripe old age of 25, a dry drunk, at a hospital, playing a priest who is not a priest, feeling every moment that I was a fraud. And on top of that, I was assigned to be the chaplain on the oncology unit. So I was dealing with death in some form every day. And I was not doing well. And on top of that, I started having a sexual relationship with an administrator at the hospital. Oh God, I was a mess. Complete, utter mess. I was coming apart at the seams, and I knew it. I knew it. The wheels were popping off this bus. The summer ended. I broke it off with this woman. I got back to seminary, and I tried to get back in line. And I found myself that October in a really bad place. I was feeling ashamed, fearful, desperate, a failure. And I remember considering my options. Well, you know, I could quit seminary and just disappear. I mean, what kind of priest would I make? Or I could start drinking again to kill the pain. Or I could kill myself. I was that desperate. It was that dark. I was at the end of my rope. And one evening, I was just spiraling down. And I found myself crying out to God, pouring out my soul. All the pain, all the fear, all the shame flowing out of me with racking sobs. I confessed it all. I felt it all. I held nothing back. And then I began to beg God, Lord, just let me be free of it. I want to be whole. I want to be normal. I can't live this disintegrated life anymore. I want a new life. I want to start over. I gave full expression to my desire. I begged God. I pleaded. I laid the deepest wants at his feet. And then I was still. Quiet sort of came over me. It was like being in the eye of a storm where everything gets quiet. And in that moment, I recalled my first AA meeting that I went to at the Dogwood Club in Atlanta. It just popped into my head vividly. And I knew in that moment where I needed to go. And as soon as I knew it, there was a part of me that shame just reared up. It says, oh, great, Terry, now you can add an alcoholic to your list of failures. And I shook off that temptation. And in my own way, I said, your will be done. Your will be done. I went to an AA meeting that evening in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And my life has been changed. All the desires I laid before God of wanting to be whole, of wanting to start again, have been coming true over the last 33 years. There have been times over the course of my life, other times, where I have had those deep, heart-wrenching expressions of pain and wanting, and eventually surrender. I've learned this pattern from Jesus. Pain, wanting, surrender. I've tried to live it in the safety of being with Jesus. And what we encounter there in the solitude and silence of being with Jesus, we discover our truer selves. Because he brings it to the surface. He digs it out from underneath the pain and the fear. He unearths it from beneath the sin and the selfishness. He showers us with mercy and forgiveness and healing so we can see and experience and be our truer selves. This happens. It does. In the quiet and solitude of being with Jesus. Dear people of God, do not be afraid of it. Do not shun it. Do not dismiss it. Enter into the silence and solitude to be with Jesus. And in being with Jesus, you will become more like Jesus. You'll be changed. Your character, your feelings, your perceptions. And as we become more like Jesus, you will find yourself living more like Jesus in the world. Being a blessing to people's lives, not a curse. Being a peacemaker, not the source of conflict. Being merciful and kind, not judgmental and scornful. Becoming encouraging and hopeful, not pessimistic and cynical. Being life in the midst of death, not death in the midst of life. Enter the quiet and solitude. Be with Jesus. And you will discover your truer self. Amen. So, I am going to hijack the creed, the prayers of the people, and the confession. For some of you, that's great news. For others, not so much. So we're going to practice silent prayer together in the presence of Jesus. I invite you to sit up straight, feet flat on the floor, hands on your thighs. We did this last week, and we're going to do it for 5 minutes. As you breathe in and out, I encourage you to say, Lord Jesus, be with me. Or, Lord Jesus, be with us. The time on the clock is 11:09. We will be in silence for 5 minutes. I encourage you who are on the live stream that join us in this time of silent prayer, or this will be the most boring 5 minutes of TV you've ever watched. Lord Jesus, be with us.